Hello and welcome to Season 5 of Local Gov Life from ICMA. I'm your host, Erica White. This season, we're looking at gnarly issues, which is also the theme of the August 2019 Public Management Magazine. Each episode features local government professionals telling their stories and sharing experiences with some particularly difficult problems facing their jurisdictions. Today's gnarly issue, local cannabis regulation. In this past midterm election, cannabis was a hot-button issue on many state and local ballots. Seven states voted on a total of 36 ballot measures, ranging from taxing medical cannabis to legalizing the use and possession of recreational marijuana. This number doesn't even include the many local cannabis initiatives that were on the ballot in states across the country. The August 2019 issue of PM Magazine included a checklist for communities developing cannabis policies to help local governments with this complex and ever-changing issue. And on September 19th of this year, ICMA hosted a webinar called Regulating Cannabis in Your Community. This episode of Local Gov Life includes excerpts and tips from the panelists featured in the webinar. But if you're interested in learning even more about local cannabis regulation, check out the full webinar on demand at icma.org. Our first segment features Rebecca Fleury, city manager, and Eric Felt, planner from Battle Creek, Michigan. Battle Creek has been working on cannabis regulation policy since 2008, when the state of Michigan passed their Medical Marijuana Act. Michigan's first medical cannabis dispensary opened in 2016, and recreational use was legalized 2 years later. The state's decision to legalize marijuana forced Battle Creek to make a choice: either move forward with permitting these businesses to operate in their community, or not. Rebecca explains.
We wanted to make sure that generally we had the support of our policymakers, specifically our elected officials, before we really move forward and tried to keep up with the state. We saw a lot of our neighboring jurisdictions make decisions to hold off. Really, I think for Battle Creek's position, our elected officials really had a consensus. There was a desire to move forward with the licensings for the Medical Marijuana Facility Licensing Act.
The local elected officials wanted staff to move forward with setting up a formal process to allow and regulate dispensaries. But it wasn't just the electeds. A survey revealed a similar sentiment from the community. After getting local buy-in, staff developed an ordinance that determined where dispensaries were zoned to set up shop. That legislation, the Local Facilities Regulation Act, passed in February 2018. While this process seemed painless for Battle Creek, Eric explains some lessons learned.
We have learned a lot, pretty short amount of time. Staff read the state of regulations once it came out and started formulating ideas of how it affects our local regulatory body and putting it into a local permitting process and how that might intertwine with the state's process. Obviously, staff needs to be educated to fully understand the state's regulations and the city regulations. Certainly, as investors come to file permits, they're learning our permitting process at the same time as we are learning how someone navigates our permitting process.
Finally, Rebecca highlights an important component of cannabis regulation: the ever-changing nature of marijuana legislation.
We are evolving. The recreational marijuana was just approved by the voters in Michigan in November of 18, and we're just now recently have seen the initial state rules and regulations around it. And we will be taking our draft ordinance and license, similar to our Medical Marijuana Facility Licensing Act process, to our elected body. So we have determined that we will move forward in the same manner that we did with medical marijuana. Those draft ordinances will go into October, and we'll see what our elected officials do with those. Very similar. Our elected officials did not want us to consider any of the additional licensing options that came in with the adult use or recreational marijuana. So we're proceeding, like I said, very similarly to how we proceeded with medical marijuana. And then the state will begin issuing licenses as of November 1st, 2019.
The takeaway? Local government leaders need to emphasize the importance of education before regulation. Our next segment features Nicole Killian, Assistant Director of Community Development for Durango, Colorado. Durango's experience began in 2009 when the federal government eased enforcement of cannabis laws, even though Colorado legalized medical marijuana in 2000. Between May and August of 2009, the city received 4 applications to open medical dispensaries. This surge of interest meant that the city immediately had to put a moratorium on all new applicants. Nicole explains why Durango took a reactionary approach.
We had to take a reactionary approach to those. They were already submitted. We just treated them like regular retail uses and went through the process with those 4 applications. And then in September of that year, we adopted a moratorium. There was anticipation that there was going to be some more information coming from the state, but we just wanted to make sure that we had a decent handle on what we were dealing with. And so we adopted our first medical marijuana ordinance in October of 2009. And that really only addressed background checks and buffer requirements around schools and parks.
Between 2010 and 2014, Durango had to adopt additional ordinances and amendments to deal with changes in the state laws. This again highlights the fact that cannabis law is constantly changing, and local governments must be agile to these changes. Nicole explains some lessons learned through Durango's experience in regulating cannabis.
Number one is just know your state's regulations and keep track of the amendments. The state of Colorado had a lot of amendments through the last couple years, and just staying on top of those is very important. Don't wait too long to consider a tax increase. We feel like we missed the boat on that one because the recreational marijuana businesses were already established. And so if you're going to ask for tax increases, do it at the very beginning of the process. Make sure you get your zoning right, know where you want them located, how you want them, if you want them all in one area or you want them spread out like Durango does, and get your buffers right. So know the federal requirements on that as well as your state requirements on what needs to be buffered. And it does help to have a buffer map, but what I will say is it did come back to bite us a few times if we were not keeping it completely up to date. So that's one thing to just keep in mind and have a disclaimer on your map that maybe, you know, it could be outdated. For instance, a preschool might have moved and we don't hear about that right away. So just knowing that some of the information on the map is not 100% is important. And then what we do is we require the business during their licensing process to go out and also investigate the neighborhood and see if they see anything like daycares or schools that the city is not aware of that have moved. And then the last one is foster trust with the business owners, managers, and staff. For our code enforcement, spent a lot of hours, a lot of inspections at the very beginning of both medical and recreational, just making sure the businesses are in compliance. They've created a rapport with the managers and owners, and now we only inspect once a year. We have minimal issues. They're always in compliance. And then their most regulated business in the state of Colorado, and our businesses are in compliance, and we all have relationships with the owners, and they know if they also need our assistance with something that we can help them out as well.
Durango put a moratorium on all medical cannabis applications in 2009. But where is Durango at today?
Right now, we are getting pressures for social and hospitality clubs. The state of Colorado just passed House Bill 19-1230, which is for marijuana hospitality establishments. Again, they give cities the right to opt out of those. Durango, we are investigating it right now. We have some local supporters of it that have been addressing us, and so we're working to figure out how we're going to handle that. We don't have any regulations in place yet for that, but January 1st is when they're allowed in Colorado. And then we're also hearing that Colorado might start looking at regulating hemp. We don't really know what that's going to look like yet either, but just some of the things that we will be dealing with in the future.
Now that you've heard about a jurisdiction that's taken a reactionary approach, let's visit a community that was more proactive around this issue. Since the early 2000s, the city of Santa Rosa, California, the 5th largest community in the San Francisco Bay Area, has had 2 medical dispensaries. Sean McGlynn, city manager, and Claire Hartman, deputy director of planning for Santa Rosa, were at the center of the proactive approach to regulating cannabis. Sean explains what led their organization to get out ahead of possible state cannabis policies.
What we began to really understand pretty early on is that there was going to be a ballot initiative in 2016, and it was going to pass. There was very little question. So while we were trying to update our medical cannabis ordinance, we were leaning really hard in on the legalization effort. What I can say is we had already identified issues. This was an industry, the illegal industry, the recreational industry at the time, was a very much a part of our economy, whether we acknowledged it or not, and was creating issues within the city. We were having public safety issues, were home invasions, because a lot of these entrepreneurs were working out of their homes. There were also other types of safety issues with fire, with certain types of processing happening. So there was an understanding from the city that there was a challenge here. It was a public safety challenge, and there was a thriving industry that needed to be brought into the daylight.
Claire explains what was unique about Santa Clara's approach.
Unlike other cities, even in our own county, where they only sort of cherry-picked what part of the industry they might permit, we wanted to treat, well, one, we were aware that we had labs, we had growing, we had everything in the sector, and so we didn't want to exclude any of the support uses and not just focus on retail. The other thing that was unique to Santa Rosa was that we didn't want to wait. We jumped right in, 2 feet in, and in 2016, when the state had reestablished their state framework, and said, okay, the state's going to allow it. We're going to start issuing licenses. Cities, you can assert your local authority. The first thing all California cities did is jump to their council and start initiating prohibition ordinances. And so, of course, I'm in the, writing one up and sending it to the council, and the council said, no. We're not going to take a prohibition approach when we know they're here. We can't wait.
Santa Clara immediately developed some interim policies to bring the previously underground marijuana industry above ground. These policies helped test what was working and what was not. This information was critical as the community worked to codify their local cannabis regulation. One of the many lessons Santa Clara learned during this interim process was the need to set standards for the industry. Claire explains.
We're very proactive. We have standards, so they're not conditions of approval. They set standards for the four things we heard over and over again, whether they were the residents of our community or commercial tenants or industrial tenants that would have to sit in place next to a cannabis tenant. And that is security and odor control. The standard is you cannot smell it from outside the building. That's a performance measure they must do, and that's been the number one issue, and that's been working quite well. And lighting, we didn't want them to light it up for their own safety, like a baseball stadium, at the expense of everyone else. So we made sure that these were neighbor-friendly performance measures.
Sean closes out our episode with what he believes is critical for all communities dealing with cannabis regulation issues.
As we go through the retailing and the manufacturing permitting process, just like any land use decision, there are some folks that are not completely satisfied that it's in their backyard. But council has been very, very clear, and we've been able to message this clarity that this business will not be treated any differently. And the rules are the rules. So I would say we've had a couple of NIMBY moments, but not a cascade of fear and rollback. And I would say one of the things that I would point to early on is this conversation of we were experiencing a rash of home invasions. We had some fires in residential neighborhoods. Most of that has gotten out of the residential neighborhoods. So this process has provided relief from what was the illegal work going on in residential neighborhoods. So there is evidence of that change.
This was just a small glimpse of the information shared in our webinar, regulating cannabis in your community. This podcast is a great starting point, but if you're dealing with the gnarly issue of marijuana regulation, make sure you check out the webinar on demand at icma.org. That's our show for today. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. And if you like Local Gov Life, please tell a friend and leave us a preferably 5-star review. This helps other local government professionals find us. You can find information on today's featured topic in the August 2019 issue of PM Magazine, in print or online at icma.org/PM. And follow ICMA on our socials to comment on the podcast and continue the conversation. Thanks again for listening to Local Gov Life. See you next time.